we're living in. Let me tell ya. And it's a world that men can eat at all. When things are big, that should be small. Who can tell what magic spells we'll be doing for us? And I'm giving up my love to this world, only to be told. I can't see, I can't breathe, no, not where we'll be. And nothing's gonna change the way we live. Cause we can always take but never give. And now the things are changing for the worse. See, whoa, it's a crazy world we're living in. And I just can't see that half of us immersed in sin.
That's the British funk and acid jazz band Jamiroquai with one of my favorites, Virtual Insanity. And does that not express exactly what we are experiencing today? It's from their 1996 album, Traveling Without Moving. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Well, seems as if things are kind of coming together, although they're falling apart. What's coming together is a confluence of opinion about something happening with President Trump. What's falling apart, of course, is U.S. foreign policy. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson attempted shuttle diplomacy yesterday with Russia to salvage a pre-U.S. bombing in Syria thaw in relations, but that attempt appears to have failed. Certainly, it has not succeeded. Fresh from talks with G7 nations in Lucca, Italy, where Tillerson was unable to deliver clarity about current and future U.S. policy in Syria, the U.S.'s top diplomatic envoy came into a blistering critique of the United States by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov about recent Trump administration actions and statements that Lavrov said have eroded trust in working with the United States, quote, across the whole spectrum of bilateral and multilateral affairs, unquote. That was an extraordinary pronouncement to make in the world of diplomacy that pretty much says it's over. The rapid downward spiral in U.S.-Russia relations mirrors an open breach at home between Trump and his political base, including some of his staunchest supporters, who believe their erstwhile hero has been captured by a cabal of military globalist advisors, and being himself politically naive, is being manipulated into spheres and issues he had no intention of getting involved in. In other words, they're saying that President Trump has been hijacked and he's a captive president. Well, it's interesting because the bond between Trump and his supporters seemed so tight. But we are hearing more and more, and the voices are getting louder and louder, that people who were close to him, people who worked very hard to get him elected, are confused and angry at what they say is a deliberate distancing of Trump between himself and his political base. And so it is their opinion that Donald Trump is being managed very closely by a cabal that has its own agenda and has managed through a very deft rearrangement of personnel in the White House to literally seize control. And beyond that, they are now engineering what Donald Trump is doing, up to and including this disastrous missile strike in Syria. Now, it's one thing we talk among ourselves, and we very often mirror each other's thoughts about that, and we've been talking about this now. This is our second week. But it is interesting and instructive to listen to other sides, other points of view. And here I want to share with you the thinking of two of America's leading conservative broadcasters who were discussing openly this question about the capturing by these so-called inside forces of the president, who have been able to manipulate him into doing things, possibly including the airstrikes in Syria. So here's a discussion. It's an excerpt, actually, of the discussion yesterday between Alex Jones, the host of InfoWars, and his guest, Dr. Michael Savage, the host of the Michael Savage Show. He previously hosted a program called The Savage Nation. Now, what is interesting here is that both Alex Jones and Michael Savage played major roles in drumming up support for Donald Trump during his campaign. They are amazed and angry at what they see is happening. So let's take a listen here. We'll come back after that and continue our discussion. But we're listening to an insider view of what is happening with Donald Trump. Here we go.
Well, Ron Paul has come out and said it was a false flag chemical attack. The former top British ambassador has come out and said that it was a false flag attack. Peter Ford, he said now the jihadis will launch more false flags to draw Trump in. Vladimir Putin has come out and said it, but it hasn't gotten any attention like Michael Savage, best-selling author, probably the number one or number two talk show host in the United States, coming on the broadcast right now exclusively. In about an hour, he hosts his own broadcast, despite the fact he's under the weather. His new best-selling book, Trump's War, warns on page 233, Trump's war against the deep state, and he warns in the chapter, I read the book a month ago, of them trying to get him into war. So that's why they call him Dr. Savage. I won't go into all his degrees, medical degrees, you name it, but he exclusively joins us here, Zero Hedge. Drudge Report has it. Michael Savage turns on Trump, says Syrian gas attack was false flag. I don't think it's turning on Trump. It's warning Trump. Maybe I'm wrong, but CNN saying he's turned on Trump. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I haven't gotten his total view on this, but Dr. Savage of MichaelSavage.com, am I wrong to say you haven't turned your desperate...
Trump, that's the vermin in the left trying to divide and conquer once again. It's the garbage of the world in the media.
Absolutely.
The trash, the filth, the sludge. I never turned on Trump. Now, I don't know whether we can reach Trump. That's the problem. I don't know who he's listening to.
Well, I did talk to, let's just say, I did get what the president thought this week, and I'll tell you later. I know you just had dinner with him a few weeks ago, but let's just, you've got the floor, sir. So just roll this out. Why you're so concerned?
We're not the only ones who see this. Let's start with all the people you mentioned, but let's go the other way. Who is supporting this? The worst people on the planet are saluting Trump. Fareed Zakaria, Mr. Crazy Eyes. Lindsey Graham, the weirdest man in the history of the Senate. John McCain, the psycho, when he speaks, you could see insanity. They're all saluting Donald Trump. These are the people we hated before the election. These are the people who rejected during the election. Now they're on Trump's side, along with the crypto pseudo conservatives in the radio business who hold themselves up as great conservatives who are screaming for war. Alex, the world is upside down. If you can keep your head while all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. Greatest, one of the greatest lines ever written, something I've carried with me since I'm 18 years old. If you can keep your head while all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. Alex, we are being tested like we have never been tested before. I don't know how we come out of this, because I don't know if Donald Trump is listening to a word anyone is saying to him other than this inner cadre around him. Somebody has turned him. Now, let's look at the big picture. In the period of only 1 week, because of a few propaganda photos of a terrible tragedy conducted by we don't know whom, the president has now launched wars and threatened wars against three nations, China, Russia, North Korea. But more than that, did you see, Alex, here's the strangest part of it all. For a smart man, why would he conduct these absurd limp-wristed missile strikes while the Chinese guests are sitting with him at Mar-a-Lago? Does anyone not understand protocol? Do they not understand diplomacy? Do they understand that's probably one of the greatest breaches of diplomacy I've ever seen in my lifetime? This was like saying to the Chinese, hello, small, stupid men with shiny heads. Are you enjoying my meal? Well, F you, because I've just launched missiles. Now what do you have to say about it? What kind of presidency is this?
I will agree. It's very, very, very provocative.
Well, you're being more diplomatic than I, which is saying an awful lot. Maybe it's because I have the flu and I have a fever and I'm not thinking clearly.
No, you're thinking very clearly. In fact, every veteran I talk to, every person I talk to, I say 85% of the audience is absolutely freaked out about what's happening. And I'll tell you who, you know who he listens to. I'll tell you who Trump listens to. Late at night, they've taken his phone away. They only let negative stuff go on Twitter. He doesn't get any positive comments there. He would do feedback there. He listens to Michael Savage. He listens to InfoWars. He looks at Drudge Report, probably more than us combined. Let's just say it. So,
Alex, hold on. How does he listen to me if I'm off the air?
He goes and finds clips on YouTube. I know for a fact. The point is that he does listen to you. I got a phone call this weekend from somebody. I'll just leave it at that, saying we're not going to do a no-fly zone. We're not going to have war. Rex Tillerson's going to come out and dial this back. Some people have been speaking on their own, and notice Tillerson's now done that. I said that Sunday. I said that Monday. It's now happened. I don't want to sit here and brag and try to sound big, but just he is listening to you. So speak directly to the president. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Well, hello, President Trump. You said I should live another 25 years when you put your arm around me at Mar-a-Lago. I hope you mean it, because I can use another 25 minutes the way I feel. My feeling is this. Tillerson is misleading you. I have no idea why people don't see through that man. It seems to me that it's so plain that you don't have to be a genius to see what happened here. What does ExxonMobil gain if they cut Syria out of the gas lines that are running out of the Middle East to Europe? What does ExxonMobil gain by that, Alex? That's the whole story in a nutshell. It's another war for oil. It's all over again. It's the same thing as 1999. Remember when Bill Clinton was mercilessly bombing the Serbian people?
Yes. For the Muslims.
I wrote an article. In 1999, the oily tracks run through Kosovo. It was a little-noticed article. My heart was broken because Bill Clinton engaged in 78 of the worst days of my life until now, where Bill Clinton mercilessly bombed Serbia. He blew up hospitals. He blew up train stations. He blew up every bridge on the Danube River for one reason, and that was to steal Kosovo from the Serbs, to permit an oil pipeline to run through Kosovo. What's even worse about that story is the same exact elements that are now on the side of war were on the side of war then. And the same sane people and rational people who cared for the stability of the earth, for the stability of their families, were against that insane act by Bill Clinton. I have not changed my position. It's the same exact thing. We cannot let crazed businessmen who put their bottom line ahead of the survival of the planet, and I'm talking about Rex Tillerson, to rule this nation. Did you vote for Rex Tillerson?
Was
no. His name on the goddamn ballot?
No.
Did you ever hear of that Cro-Magnon?
No.
Who ever heard of that throwback? Where did he come from? Where the hell did that throwback come from? That lowbrow looks like he crawled out of a pit somewhere.
Eddie Munster?
We can say all the things we want. I did not elect him to the presidency. I didn't kill myself for a year. I have total faith in Donald Trump. And I'll repeat right now what I said to him. I would do anything for that man. I have total faith in him. But I don't understand how he cannot see through all the president's men. They're misleading him. They're taking him down a road he cannot come back
from. Absolutely. That's what my...
Alex, if he loses you and he loses me, tell me what happens next.
That they'll destroy him, and he has to know that his base is upset. But let's expand on that. The British ambassador, I want to ask you this question, to Syria said, listen, it's not that Assad's perfect. We're on the side of al-Qaeda and ISIS. They're celebrating this. They're going to stage more stuff. They got caught in 2013. They got caught last year. It's official. They videotaped it. These jihadis want to be rock stars. They videotaped launching the chemical attacks. It wasn't sarin. It was chlorine gas because the doctors are taking care of them without gloves. And Putin has come out and said it's a false flag. And he says more is planned. And that's what the British ambassador and Putin, who are smart, are saying is, we don't want war. We want to de-escalate this. What are you going to do now, Trump, when the jihadis stage more stuff, this time in Aleppo or in the suburbs of Damascus, and then the right-wing, you know, left-wing neocons, whatever you want to call them, rhinos, the warmongers like McCain and Graham, say, President, you've got to do something. They have painted him into a corner.
What more do you need to know than the crazy eyes of him? Let's look at the man with the craziest, most deceitful eyes in media.
Zacharias.
Zachariah, one of the sickest looking faces I've ever seen. If you were to create a puppet of deceit and hatred for America, it would be Fareed Zachariah.
Yeah, Fareed Zachariah.
Congratulating Donald Trump. Lindsey Graham, one of the most twisted sisters in the history of the Senate. A totally twisted Nancy. Is now encouraged by the Trump administration. John McCain, who looks like what he is, a totally sad, broken man, walking around like the puppet of the defense establishment, saluting him. And listen to this, Alex. Again, you don't have to be a genius to add up the pieces. All of the never-Trumpers, the Weekly Standard crowd, all the never-Trumpers are now saluting him. How is that possible? How did this happen? Who was advising our great president? I killed myself. I sacrificed my career to help the people go out, to help motivate the people who were nice. See, here's the thing is, I got people who sat out elections to go out and vote for him.
I agree.
That's the whole point, and so did you. These are the people who gave up on the system a long time ago. We saw an outsider. Why did I push so hard for Donald Trump? I defined it in one of my books by saying, life with Trump, death with Clinton. I said one thing alone amongst all is why I'm pushing for Trump, and that is we will not have a war with Russia.
Well, I'll say this, Mr. Savage, of MichaelSavage.com and WorldNet Daily. Whatever happens here, you have children, angry children, I have children. We've proven we're moral. Look at the left cheerleading and Pelosi and all the usual suspects coming out, not just Fareed Zakaria, not just George Soros, but all the usual suspects, the worst people like Chuckie Schumer and all of them are praising him, sitting there when they want to destroy him. He's delivered on jobs, delivered on the border, delivered on $3 trillion in the stock market, done all these great things. And then his enemies come out and say this and do this. And I know you don't want to get into it and talk about it, but I read your book in full. I only read two chapters because I got it the day before you came on a month ago. Trump's war against the deep state. You called it. I mean, it's true. You said it'll be them trying to start a war, them trying to block him. That'll be his greatest test. That's the last chapter in your book, Trump's War, that everybody should read. Shame on the left, because if the left was really, cared, they're criticizing you and I don't know if you know this, on CNN last night and today, actually attacking us that we don't want a war and saying we're a bunch of un-American crap.
Well, let me say this to you. I have a chapter called Trump's War Against the War Machine in Trump's War. And I call him not a man of war. And I describe the liberal warmongers, the neocons, the war profiteers, and I give a battle plan. I was afraid this day might come. But it takes a strong man to make peace and a weak man to make war. It is not a mark of strength to go to war, especially when our military is depleted. Now, let's look at that. We all know the military is depleted. The president knows that. And now what, with threatening China and Russia and North Korea at once, when half our planes on aircraft carriers are inoperable? What in the hell is going on here? Who is leading here? Who is making these decisions? I want to say something on a strictly...
Wow. That was very, very instructive to me, listening to it. Because, again, I'm appreciating the environment of this discussion. Here are two people who clearly have invested very strongly in getting Donald Trump elected. They're in the media. They did a lot of work, both professionally and personally, to push Donald Trump. Certainly, as Michael Savage said, that, you know, there was no choice. You would have nothing but death with Hillary Clinton. And from their perspective, their ideological perspective is more toward conservatism. But they had a view that if the choice were between Trump and Clinton, there was no question. It was going to be Trump. They pushed Trump. They were fully vested in his candidacy. They saw a possibility of turning the corner from their perspective. Now, you don't have to agree. I'm saying let us appreciate where this conversation is coming from. There are two guys who basically had this one thing in common, and that is high hopes for a Trump candidacy and a Trump victory, which eventually occurred. So Trump gets into the White House. And now they're very, very happy that from their perspective, now begins the opportunity to turn things around. From their perspective, the Democrats, the Obama administration, and others had made a mess of things. But beyond that, the people within the administration charged with making certain decisions made decisions that were adverse to American progress from their perspective. Okay. Now that Trump is in, they have reached a point, you know, it's less than 100 days. And they're beginning to ask questions. What has happened to the president? We thought he was on track A. He was going to do A, B, C, D, and E, the things he talked about as he campaigned. He outlined a vision, which they endorsed and they received very positively. And not just the two of them. I'm talking about the two of them because these are not silly people. These are highly intelligent, well-connected broadcasters with a long history of propagating the ideology of conservatism. Okay. But they have reached a point now where they say, well, wait a minute. Something is wrong here. The Trump who conducted or authorized the bombing in Syria, that was not supposed to be part of the picture. Who is making the decisions? Who is surrounding this president and directing the policies such as they are? And there aren't very many policies. We've discussed that. That was one of the things that the G7 nations couldn't find. They couldn't find the policy, U.S. policy for Syria. They were asking for some clarity about it and couldn't get it. Tillerson in Russia still was unable to deliver the U.S. policy, what the U.S. current and future policy will be. And I said to you point blank that it doesn't exist. I said to you a while ago, they have no policies. They haven't made up anything. They're winging it. And Trump is in a total state of flux. There's nothing there except what they make up at the moment to stand for policy. But there is no policy. There's no standing policy yet about just about anything. Have we seen a policy about the Obamacare that they were hoping to completely just thrash? No, it doesn't exist. The most important things that they say they want to pursue, there are no written policies. There's nothing there. But what struck me was that in the conversation that these two conservative men, men of conservative ideology, they still are talking about how offensive it is that the people surrounding Trump seem to be such war hawks, and they clearly are opposed to war. They think it to be a losing proposition. And they're wondering out loud, who are the people advising this president? And why is the president placing the country in these precarious and untenable situations? They have concluded that the president has been captured. A sort of coup has occurred in Washington. The president, the man that the conservative Americans had sent to Washington, somehow, as one actually said, Michael Savage said, they turned him. This is a fascinating thing to say. They turned him. And now, what they mean by that is they turned Trump against us. They switched his agenda. They created somebody we don't know and whom we can't reach. We used to be able to pick up the phone and talk. Michael Savage talked about when Trump put his arm around him at Mar-a-Lago. That was the relationship they had. They were that close. Alex Jones talks about the fact they took his phone away from him. So he no longer tweets. He no longer has access to communicate with his peeps, the people he used to have close to him during the campaign. Again, as Savage says, they turned him. And that accounts, supposedly, for the insane positions that the president is taking and the insane actions that he has been committing. I find this fascinating. So the question I'm asking today, we should talk a bit about it. What in this conversation was very instructive to you? Do you think there's merit to the argument that Donald Trump has become a captive of a cadre of individuals who have a whole different agenda from what even Trump had going into the White House? They finagled and finessed their way to be now the circle around him, and they're making decisions. Are they making decisions for him? Or are they helping him make decisions? And are these decisions confluent with the decisions that Donald Trump basically won victory with, making promises to his political base? Is that Donald Trump, the same Donald Trump that currently occupies the White House? Or has there been a quiet coup and the president is now a captive? Interesting. We'll take the short break and come to your thoughts right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I am Eutrice Lead. We're talking about a very interesting theory that is surfacing, and that is that President Trump now finds himself surrounded by what heretofore was the enemy, and they are forcing him into decisions and influencing his decisions such that these decisions do not reflect either what his supporters want, which is no war, no confrontation, which is what he said he was going to do, which was America first. He has turned his back on that and is now carrying through a warmonger's agenda, because that's what these people want. What do you think about that theory? Does it have merit? It doesn't need to change your view about the situation in Syria or in any place that the United States currently is considering taking military action. But it's just an interesting dimension, wouldn't you say? It's an interesting dimension of where we are. Michael Savage says, who is this guy? This guy Tillerson. Who is this guy making these decisions? From Chicago, Matt, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Matt.
Yeah, I wanted to ask if you'd heard what former Congressman Kucinich said in mid-March. Dennis Kucinich was on Fox Business. You can YouTube it. He spoke for about 6 or 7 minutes, and he used the term deep state 4 or 5 times.
Yes.
And he was saying that Trump, the presidency itself, is being taken over. This is on Fox Business. It's kind of ironic. He's on Fox Business News. And pretty ominous warning. And it's happening now.
Do you think that this argument has merit?
Absolutely. Certainly do.
If indeed the deep state now has a hold on the presidency such that Donald Trump is making decisions that make no sense to his base and to his closest advisors. When I say advisors, I mean campaign advisors, the people who used to be close to him. And those people just said in the conversation that we heard, absolutely war with any of these states that they talked about, whether it's China or Russia or North Korea. These things were not even on the table. the America First agenda was on the table, and now we have an agenda of war. Do you think that indeed the president, according to Michael Savage, has been turned, as he said?
Yeah, and threatened. I have no question in my mind anyway, and I think many other people are realizing that, especially now, 16, 17 years after 9/11, which was an inside job, that the neocons have nearly fulfilled their mission to take over the Middle East. So now they want to bully.
But they named, they said it wasn't just the neocons. It's also the liberals. It's also the Democrats.
Yes, because the Democrats cannot handle the idea that Hillary lost on her own merits. So they need a scapegoat. And they picked, you know, just really the Russians have been falsely blamed for the loss of Hillary Clinton.
All right. Well, thank you for getting us started today. Thank you so much, Matt, for calling in. From Wisconsin, Habu, you're on the air.
Hello, Ms. Lead, and thank you for the opportunity. I was on Friday, and I'll keep this very brief, but because I have listened to Alex Jones, I do have an insight that maybe your other listeners don't. But anyway, you know, let me just say this. I have to give it to the deplorables because many of them are really annoyed and crossed with both Donald Trump and with Alex Jones for pimping for him. And many of them have turned on both. Now just compare this to all these beautiful so-called liberals who were calling Trump a racist, a rapist, this, that, the other. And now that he bombed Syria, he's so adorable. So that's the hypocrisy. But basically, what you played in the clip, I believe, I don't know about Savage, but I know about Alex Jones making this whole thing about somebody made him do it, made Donald Trump do it. And that is patently false. Now, sure, somebody may have done that. We don't know that. But this is Alex Jones selling out and trying to make it seem like, no, he couldn't do it. You know, Donald Trump is an empty suit who really didn't have any kind of moral bedrock of ideas or what have you. And I think he's probably easily swayed. He's really dense. But Alex Jones, because he has an inside line to the White House via Roger Stone, is keeping this thing going because he benefits from it too. He is able to give all these snippets of news that mainstream media may not have. So Alex Jones has sold out to him, and so has Trump. Now this is the thing about the Syria bombing and now threatening North Korea is new, but we could see this coming. He dropped the ball on health care. He said he would make it better, cheaper than Obamacare. And people, of course, naturally welcome that. Not anything against Obama, but they naturally welcomed it because there were some chinks in the Obama plan. But this guy hasn't been able to deliver, and he's just let that go. And also, I believe he has colluded with China. The big trade deficit is not going to evaporate. Instead, he may get them to give some concessions so that they can, you know, put their heel on North Korea. But North Korea is not taking anything of that. But anyway, so this is my two cents, and I didn't mean to call too often, but thank you very much for the opportunity.
But before you go,
yes,
I still would like you to address the question. Have they hit on a point that Donald Trump himself has been redirected away from his professed planks and platform that he campaigned on, and has been overwhelmed and is now surrounded by people who have an entirely different agenda that they are now forcing upon him to execute?
Well, to answer your question, truthfully, I don't know, because I certainly am not around those people. I don't think, with all the bombastic things that Trump said, it was incandescently clear that he would not be able to deliver on a number of them. The wall. How stupid is that? But to kind of make an excuse that he's been hijacked is just a way of saving face. So I can't buy that line. I really can't buy that line. As Truman said, the buck stops here. And so he has to take responsibility, and we have to blame him. And kudos to the deplorables who are holding his feet to the fire, as did Nigel Farage and Graham, the female talk show host, as well as Ann Coulter. Not that these are people I admire, but at least they're principled. And without even, without hesitating, they said right away, this is wrong, So who's behind that, I don't know.
But you gave us some thinking here to do as well. Thank you so much for your call today. From Brooklyn, Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, Patrice. I hope you're doing better.
Thank you. Yes, I'm hanging in.
That's good. I use Dave instead of David because...
I'll keep that in mind now. You're Dave, and the other is David. All right.
Yeah, I don't want to compete with him because I agree with practically everything he says. Anyway, Trump is owned by the money elite, like all the presidents are. All Obama's promises, what happened to them? Plus, he passed an unconstitutional bill, and he's a constitutional student lawyer. And Trump has to, let me phrase this properly, he has to go along to get along.
But do you place any stock in what, from the little snippet that we heard, seems to be just causing a great deal of agita to these two men who had played a great role in bolstering Trump's campaign and to advance his platforms and so forth? Does it bother you that they seem, even a seasoned, now these are not neophytes, they're very seasoned people, but that they seem so put upon by the Trump that they're seeing now and the things that they're seeing Trump do that are so far away from what they thought he would do, so far to the point where they believe basically he has been captured.
Yes.
And made to adopt the agenda of the warmongers.
Yeah, Obama, same thing. I agree
with
that.
Explain.
Libya. He went into Libya for the only reason is because Gaddafi was going to get off the petrodollar, which I'm sure some people don't know. Sure, he was evil and dictator and all that. He was great to his people. The most flourishing country in Africa. So why disrupt that? Because they're going off the petrol dollar. And now it's the same thing with Trump. Have to go along to get along. The last president who didn't go along to get along was JFK, and you know what happened to him.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Do you expect this to change at all? Do you expect a different persona to emerge from Donald Trump?
It's going to be the same one as it is now with the bombing Syria. War must continue. Mm. What were you going to say?
My goodness.
Yeah, it's perpetual
warfare. All right, well, perpetual warfare.
Oh, they got to make their money. The powers that be who hold major stock in all the weapon munitions, and they own the banks and the Federal Reserve, and get the people broke.
Thank you for calling and contributing. Thanks, Dave, for your call. Craig from Phoenix, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrece. This is Craig. Haven't talked to you in a long time. Hope you're getting better, of course.
I have one comment.
Thank you. Yeah, I have one comment about this whole prison planet, savage nation idea, the comments they make. You know, they're alluding to the deep state finally getting a hold of Donald Trump. And, you know, I'm reminded of that show, The Shadow, the evil that lurks in the heart of men.
Yes.
I would be naive to believe what they're saying on face value simply because I'm hearing an echo because of my radio. It's way in the next room over there. Simply because these guys make their living on this deep state stuff. So they knew all along this was going to happen. And so they're just getting out there and they're turning a dollar just like they knew Donald Trump would do. So that's all they're doing.
Even so. Are none of the ideas that they expressed provocative enough to look into a little bit more deeply?
Well, I don't know about that.
Specifically, the idea, which seems to be the thing that disturbs them most, is that the Donald Trump that they are seeing now is a Donald Trump who appears to be in captivity.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, Utrece. I understand that. But I think they're a little bit more savvy. I think, you know, they're playing chess about three or four moves ahead. They knew that he was going to be manipulated. And they make their living talking about this stuff. So they already knew that when he came out and went along with the, you know, the warmongering and making a dollar, like they knew he was going to do, that they would come out and say this. And that's just kind of what I'm thinking.
Apart from what they're saying, do you think that Donald Trump, in fact, is making his own decisions?
No. I don't think that. And I kind of think that he was very surprised to win the election. I think he did it like a joke, and he won, and now he's like a deer in the headlights. He doesn't know what to do.
A deer in the headlights. Yeah. So this thing that he took on as a lark actually, you know, it produced results, and now he's going to have to act like, well, he knew this all along.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Oh, okay, Utrece, I hope you get better.
Thank you, Craig, for your call today. Rose from Queens, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Utrece. I'll try to be calm today. Well, I don't think that he's being held captive. I think it's very possible that, you know, the reason he changed is because he has a conscience. I think that people like Savage and Coulter, these principled people, you know, they've been running for years on this anti-Muslim Arab propaganda. And, you know, they loved Donald Trump because one of the first things he said campaigning was, I'm going to ban Muslims. He also said, I'm going to untie the hands of our military. He also said, you know, we're not just going to kill the terrorists, we're going to kill them and their family. And they love this. They just, you know, they went all out for him based primarily on his anti-Arab Muslim propaganda campaign. And now the last thing they expected was this guy coming to the defense of a bunch of Muslim Arabs. They never expected this. And that's why I think they turned against him. But I don't think it's because someone told him. I think, you know, that was his own authentic reasoning. His own, you know, it's wrong to gas children. I don't care if they're even a bunch of Arabs. And I think he acted on that.
But, you know, the North Korea isn't a bunch of Arabs, as you put it.
Well, yeah, but that's a different issue.
And China isn't. And all the places that he's been shaking a stick at, they're not from the Arab world. So what explains Donald Trump's zest for warmongering these days?
That's a different issue. People are up in arms. His base are up in arms like the savage. How dare he betray us by coming to the defense of these men, women, and children? How dare he do that? They're appalled at that. North Korea, I don't know what's going to happen there. Savage doesn't know either, but they do know what he did. He got in front of the cameras, told the whole American people, the sight of a child being gassed, that is not just one red line. That's a bunch of red lines. And the savages of the world they were gassed. How could he say that about these Muslims that he's been calling up for us to ban, to torture, blah blah blah, and to untie the hands of the military? That's in other words, a green light to kill as many civilians as you possibly could get away with.
Yes, but who is how? To whom do you attribute this? Do you attribute this to an outside influence, or is this Donald Trump's actual internal thinking?
Toxicity as a human being, appalled at the gassing of children and men and women, innocent people. This is not Nazi Germany, and we are not going to stand by the outside world.
But you're not answering the question. The question has to do the. The question has to do with what then, if President Trump is operating on his own imperative, or is his thinking reflective of controls that people around him are exerting on him?
Look at Bannon. Bannon is one of these anti-Muslim propagandists. His whole Breitbart rag has been about that for years. He just got demoted, right? So apparently, it didn't sit well with Trump after this gassing situation. Maybe prior to that, it did. Prior to that, you know, he wasn't. He didn't have a conscious raising this in his own mind. But now he has had that, and now this guy Bannon's demoted.
It doesn't have to do with Bannon or anything. I'm asking about what do you think within Trump himself accounts for his positions, his attitudes, on which he is prepared,
okay,
or at least he says he's prepared to act militarily.
Speculating. My speculation is the easiest reason, which I have no reason to doubt, is that he was genuinely appalled. I'm the president of the United States. I'm not just, you know, Joe Blow, who it doesn't really matter what I say, what I think, or whatever.
Yes.
And here I am watching.
But we know it's one thing to be genuinely appalled, but he is the president of the United States, and he has to obey the law, appalled as he is. There are laws that govern. Wait a minute. There are laws that govern all nations, and summary acts that they are likely to take that will cause a great deal of havoc. That's why laws are in place that control what nations do. There are laws in the United States about what a president is compelled to do to exercise any military authority, especially one that potentially can involve war. He didn't do that. He didn't, we know about how appalling pictures of dead children can be. I mean, we saw it when the United States did that in Iraq, killing about more than 500,000 children. So we know this. We've seen this before. And The pictures of the dead children is one thing. Who caused it has not yet been proven. So we cannot separate these things. We know of U.S. officials going before the World Community of Nations with pictures and charts. The last time we saw that was Colin Powell, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, saying, this shows you weapons of mass destruction. There weren't any weapons of mass destruction. So we have to kind of look a little bit more extensively at these things and the environments in which they occur in order to make sense of them. Thank you for calling. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the NDC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories, at gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.